Well, what's going on, everybody? It's your girl, Lady J.
And your girl, Love Love.
And this is the Mind His Business Show. Right here on Gospel Music Omaha, 100.3 FM. And I just realized that we are not recording this broadcast. You're live streaming, so we'll have to pull off of your live stream.
No worries.
All right. Boy, that was... We are really trying to get this technical thing together, everybody, and we appreciate your patience while we do so. Once again, this is Lady J.
And this is Love Love.
And this is the Mind His Business Show.
Hallelujah.
All right, so there we go. Now we got the mics. They're sounding better. You're sounding better. We are live streaming on your devices. Hopefully this is working out right this time. And how's your week going this week, Love Love?
It's going great. So will we be able to see them talking to us
or writing to us? I'm doing good right now with what I got.
Just asking if you do.
We're doing the best we can. Let me see if I can see. We got some new technology, everybody. There's a little button here that says chat. Let me see. Show.
You might have to enable it.
Maybe. Let me see. Show the chat. All right. And let's say hi. Everybody, there we go. All right. Uh-oh. Okay, so it says I won't be able to reply today, but I can put the comments on the screen for you. There they are right there. All right. Hopefully everybody can see what's going on there. I think we just gonna run with it.
That's his friend.
All right. So this week has been very useful and exciting and insightful for me personally because I've been getting some breakthroughs. I've been getting some breakthroughs about trying to define the big picture. Sometimes we get so lost in the day-to-day that we lose sight of the big picture. We get in our routines and we deal with our little challenges that happen all the time. And we got this problem and that issue. And we're rushing from this place to that place. And it seems like we're just in this constant motion. But sometimes we don't feel like we're going anywhere. We feel like we're doing a lot of moving and a lot of movement. But we don't feel like we're actually going anywhere. And so I've been doing a very deep internal work with the Lord to say, I don't just want to be doing things for doing things sake, but I really want to be purposeful. I want to be intentional and I want to be in the right direction. Have you ever heard of the saying, it doesn't matter how high you climb the ladder if it's leaned up against the wrong wall? I don't know if that resonates with you or not, but I think sometimes we spend so much time and energy on things that seem urgent at the time, but they're not moving the needle. They're not getting us closer to the goal. We've got a lot of activity, but it's not getting us to the destination that we believe we want to go to. And so I've been doing a lot of deep work on that. Motivated by a couple of things. One, motivated by my overall purpose and goals in life and vision. But two, motivated by desperation. So sometimes what we call faith really is just desperation in disguise. If God don't do it for us, it ain't gonna get done. So we don't have a choice but to trust Him. And for me, it's been having to change my financial situation abruptly. So I've been so accustomed to working in the corporate world and have been doing that for 20 years. I'm very good at it. I have accomplished a lot, but I feel a calling in a sense to come away from that and to dive back into more of the entrepreneurial mode, starting and growing and scaling the business ventures that He's placed on my heart to do. And in order to take that step, it is very scary because your financial impact is not as predictable when you dive into the world of launching into the deep to do something new, when it's so easy to do the thing that's been comfortable and you're good at for so long. So in order to make this move, I must first say that there is a motivation for making the move.
Motivation to get out of the shallow end and launch into the deep.
Yes. And there's a couple of reasons why. One is I had a bad experience with my last job. Now, I've got a different job now, but the last job I was at before this one, the manager was so terrible that literally this manager was the type of manager that would insult you in front of everybody.
That's one of the worst.
Demean you in front of everybody, question you in front of everybody. And I don't have a problem with positive feedback or even negative feedback, but give me a way to save face while you're doing it, right? As they say, you should praise in public and criticize in private. If you have an issue with something, I don't have a problem with us discussing it. We can knock down, drag them out, have a come to Jesus moment if you wish. Just not in front of my peers and coworkers and superiors. That's not cool. And it wasn't me that she was directing it to most of the time. This was just her pattern. And when you have a person that is doing that to everybody on the team, it made for a very hostile work environment, a very uncomfortable place to work. And I will say that this manager, she was excellent at her actual job. The things that she did, she was very good at it. There's a reason why she had made it to the position she had made it to. So I'm not taking away from her skill at all. But as a leader, it was so difficult to work there that I began to question my confidence. Now, I'm a very confident person because, as I mentioned, I've been in the corporate world for 20 plus years. I know what I'm doing. I'm very good at it. I've got advanced education. I'm skilled. There's a reason why I'm the best at what I do, which is why I always get hired to come in to these Fortune 500 companies and do the things that I do. So if I'm questioning my confidence because of how you are managing us as a team, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, this is not going to work. It's not going to work at all. But what it said to me was,
it motivated you.
It motivated me to simply say, I got a lot of S sounds in there. Let me take care of that. It motivated me to say, never again will I be diminished for
demeaned
what I bring to the table, what I have to offer, why I'm hired over and over and over again by the best to do what I do. I will never again allow someone to mute my sound or diminish my shine.
Subjugate you is more of what I think.
And so when I left that place, I wasn't fired. I chose to leave. I was not fired. I said, There's got to be something different. And I just came to the realization that God has called us to be eagles. And sometimes purely because we're afraid to just fly, we have a tendency to stay on the ground like the pigeons or the chickens or the other birds that have a tendency to stay closer to the ground if you give them a choice. I felt like I was an eagle being forced to live in a chicken coop, so to speak. And so that had a very profound motivation for me to say, never again am I going to allow myself to be treated that way. But here's the catch. If you don't like the way your life is now, it doesn't matter how long it takes to change it to be the life that you want it to be. It doesn't matter if it takes 3 months, 3 years, 30 years. If you don't like the way your life looks right now, if you take an observation of what does your life look like? Is it the life that you want? Is it the life that you have imagined for yourself? And if it isn't, don't be afraid to take steps to turn it into the life you want it to be. Now, of course, we know we live in a fallen world. We have an adversary. He's going to do everything he can to steal, kill, and destroy from us, and to prevent us from having the life that Jesus said, I have come to give you life, but life more abundantly. Now, I'm not talking about money here. Don't get me twisted and mixed up. Don't say Lady J is talking about money and that she's a prosperity preacher. This is not that at all, because the measure of your prosperity is not just measured in dollars. As a matter of fact, true prosperity and true abundance, the way God's economy defines it, really doesn't have very, very much to do with money at all. It has to do with spiritual abundance that can manifest itself in the form of financial value. But that's not the motivation or the reason why we as believers do the things we do. We do the things we do because of God's calling and his direction and his purpose for our lives. If we have a financial outcome that is positive as a result, that is a consequence of us doing God's will. It's not the point of us doing God's will. So I don't want anybody to think that I'm all about getting rich and making a bunch of money. That's not what I'm talking about here at all, because at this stage of the game, I'm willing to make less money just to not have the stress of being demeaned and insulted at my job every day. So there's more to it than just money, believe me. But all of these things kind of came together like a pimple that needs to bust. And first, when it first comes up, you kind of feel it and you're like, oh man, but it's not ready to be, you know, taken out yet. But eventually when that thing gets to the point where it's ready to be removed, then you know it's time. I'm kind of at that point right now. So I have done a complete examination of what do I really want and who am I? Who am I here to serve and why am I serving them? And how does that fit into my context as a believer and my understanding of God's ultimate purpose for us on this earth, which is one, for his pleasure, and two, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ and to the whole world, because that's what he says in Matthew 28. And number three, to be a blessing to as many people as possible, to draw them to Christ. That's the ultimate goal. Is to please him and to share that light with others in the way specifically he has designed for us to do, because nobody can be you like you. There is no other you. There might be 18,000 daycare owners, but there's only one you daycare owner. There might be 100,000 hairstylists, but there is only one love hairstylist. There is only one. There might be 1,000 janitors, but there's only one you that does janitoring the way God has designed and created you to do it. You are a market of one, because there is only one you. And so I've been working on how did God create me uniquely, me, to express his glory uniquely through me? And the same question is the same question that each of us should be asking. How does God want to express his glory uniquely through me? And so I've been doing a lot of deep diving about that, a lot of contemplation, because it's not really an easy question to answer. It requires a lot of digging deep. It requires a lot of self-honesty. It requires a lot of examining how many of the things that we do in our lives, do we do it because it's what others expect of us, or is it what we really want to do? Now, I've talked about this before. One of the ways you can kind of figure out what that is, or aside from, of course, praying and listening to the Holy Spirit, is to say, if money and time and resources and support was no object, if you had all the time, all the resources, all the money, and all the support that you needed, what would you be doing? Who would you be doing it for? Who would you be doing it with? What would that look like? What would your perfect day look like if you had all the money, time, resources, and support that you needed? What would it look like? Would it look exactly like what your life looks like right now? Would it look like something totally different? maybe you love your job, of what you do as a manager at this retail store, and maybe that brings you a lot of satisfaction. But perhaps way deep down, deep somewhere, you had a dream to be a dance teacher. I don't know. I'm making this up. If money was no object, in your perfect scenario, you would wake up in the morning, you would stretch, you would have happy clients that would come to your dance studio, and you would be able to teach them dance. And that's how God would express his glory uniquely through you in the world. Even though your actual current life right now might be you're a retail manager, but that if money was no object and people and resources and support was no object, that's the thing you would really be doing. Then from there, you should start moving in that direction little by little. You don't have to quit your job. You don't have to make a radical change, but maybe you should research, what does it take to become a dance instructor? Maybe you don't have the finances right now to have your own dance studio, but it doesn't cost anything to start telling people on Facebook that you teach dance. That costs $0 to say that on social media. There are free websites you could build to say, hey, I'm Jane Doe dance instructor. That doesn't cost anything. But it's the idea that you're planting a seed and you're starting the process of moving toward the life that you want to design for yourself. And it doesn't matter how many years it takes for you to get there. It just matters that you start moving the needle a little more in that direction. Now, obviously, be realistic. If you're 5'4", your name is not Muggsy Bowles, you are not going to be in the NBA. Just flat out. There are certain things in terms of your innate capabilities, your actual physical makeup in some cases, depending on what it is that you want to do. Okay, we're not talking about you're dreaming of something that you're completely incapable of doing or being. We're just talking about, in general, what direction would your life take if there were no barriers to being in the life that you wanted to have? And then start making moves in that direction, because if that's what God has put in you, then there's a pretty good chance that God wants to express his glory uniquely through you in that way somehow. And when you get there, it may not look exactly like what you have in your head, but the idea is that you're progressing in that direction, because God might have some specific people that need the gospel in a way that only you can deliver it while they're building relationships with you in that dance class. Does that make sense? And maybe they won't get reached until you build that dance class. So it's important that we do everything we can to listen to the Holy Spirit, allow Jesus to illuminate for us what that purposeful life looks like. How can we uniquely express his glory through us by going in the direction that he is calling us to? If you have skills, if you have talents, maybe you're really, really good at cooking, or maybe you're really, really good at teaching children how to tie shoes. I don't know. It could be anything. Only you know what those things are. Maybe you can look at it this way. What are things that people always say about you when they're talking positive? Like, I know that a lot of people say that, oh, you know, Lady J, she real smart. I hear that a lot. And so that actually tracks for me, because ever since I was a child, I wanted to be a teacher. And so in my adult life, even though I'm not in a middle school or a high school and I'm not teaching that sort of curriculum, I get the privilege of teaching every single week on this show. So I'm allowing God to express his glory uniquely through me, through that gift of teaching. And people see that when they think about me and they say, you know, tell me about Lady J. What's the deal with Lady J? Usually somewhere in there they say smart, or they say teacher, or something like that. I know that for you, Love, a lot of people say that you are just very approachable. You're very... You make them feel safe to tell you their secrets or to get advice from you. of course, you're the best there is in the state for hair. That goes without saying. People say, oh, man, she Dakota's barber. There's a reason why they say that, because you really, really, truly are. And you have been expressing your gift in the food. People say, man, her food is out of sight. I know I say it all the time. And I have seen how you're really doing a great job of pressing into those things where God really shines his glory uniquely through you, through those things that you do, whether it's cooking or ministering to people or encouraging them. You're very much so an encourager. I just really see his glory uniquely through you when I see you walking in those sorts of things. And you got some squinty eyes. So come on and tell me what's on your mind. Tell the people what's on your mind.
Well, what I think is how to reinvent yourself is more of what I'm thinking of, because if you couldn't do what it is that you believe your strengths are, what else could you do? Looking at what they call this pandemic, since you're not able to do this or that, what is it that you can do for what's going on right now? I mean, that's in my opinion. You know, there are some times when you have to reinvent yourself.
Right.
Because, like I said before, when I had a stroke, and thank God, because I believe that things would have went differently in a negative way instead of a positive way. So reinventing yourself, in my opinion, is the way to go with everything that's going on, with things that are collapsing, even with the egg shortage, which other places don't have any egg shortages, and the prices, they're rising them up. I looked at, it seemed to be almost 500%, you know, with things collapsing. What can you do when things are collapsing the way that they are? How do you reinvent yourself? It's more of the question that I really would be asking. And how do you reinvent yourself to make the finances and that is, you really do have to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, because there's a lot of things, Jackie, that are collapsing. And for those who are not in business for themselves, what would you do? What would you do?
Right. If you lost your job,
what would you do
tomorrow? I mean, God forbid. I'm not confessing that over anybody. Well, but if you
look at the prices, they're not even making what you think. I feel like it's what the Bible talked about, which was talking about how a day's wage will be how much it costs for a loaf of bread. I feel like when the people were in Egypt, you know what I'm saying? And how do you understand that God will sustain you through it all? Because it's going to take, I mean, I'm looking at even those who are on YouTube, who have YouTube channels. If you're not this AI and all of this stuff, if you're doing what it, because I call it an it.
It is an it.
That's what I call it, is an it. If you're not doing what it is saying, everything you say and do is being...
Keep going.
Is just being muzzled or cut off or things of that nature. So if you think about it like that, you'll have to reinvent yourself or find out, what else are you good at? Oh, well, I do hair, but guess what else? I also plant food. That's what I press into, because, or I know how to set up ways to grow food. That's what I do now. And I absolutely love it. I love it. You know, they say a jack of all trades and a master of none. No, you can be more than just a jack of all trades. You can be literally the ace. You can literally be the I think that they said that the Joker cards are the highest, right, Jackie? The Joker cards. Yeah. So if you think about what else, not just, you know, because believe it or not,
You know, when I had that stroke, first of all, I think about how I was stroking and I was like, no, I need to finish this person's hair. That's what I was like. No, I need to do this little thing here and this little thing here. And all the while, if you have a stroke, it's killing, they said, certain parts of your brain. That's how serious it is. And here I was still cutting hair and saying, hey, Jackie, I got a headache. Remember? You probably don't remember it, but I said, I have a headache. And she said, you do? I said, yeah, would you take me to the ER, to the emergency room? She said, oh, Lord, if she done got to the point where she say ER, she means it. And then to know that at the time, my brain was dying because of how many hours it took them to even get me into a room for anyone to even look at me. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. That's how amazing King Jesus is. Mm-hmm. Because he had his angels surrounding me, above me, underneath me, completely covering me. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for that. And he said, whatever dies, it doesn't matter. He's gonna rebuild it back in you again. And I thank God for not making the wrong decisions, you know, because a lot of times when you're under pressure, you'll make decisions that you normally would not make. But because you feel underneath pressure, you feel, oh, man, I better do this or I better do that. Well, you don't have to sell your body. You don't have to sit there and say, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, go over to the devil's side. No, you don't have to do that. You can still be on King Jesus' side, on the Lord's side, and he will make a way for you. Mm-hmm. He did it for the children of Israel. Think about it. If they're literally sitting there in front of the Red Sea, Jackie, wondering how are they going to cross, did he not open up? And this is when Pharaoh literally was chasing them, not only chasing them, but can you imagine all the horsemen? I mean, can you imagine how you have to hold up Moses? They were holding up Moses' arms, Jackie. Mm-hmm. He was so tired. I mean, when you have to have help to hold up the arms, do you understand that? Mm-hmm. And Miriam and them sang, the horse and rider drowned in the Red Sea. Mm-hmm. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. That's how much he loves you and me. So to me, it's more about, because of this pandemic, it's more about how do you want to situate, you know, yourself in the seat to say, okay, I'm getting this spot right here and I'm gonna make a go of it. I'm gonna do my best to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to do during this type of pandemic. We really do. And what can I do long term? If that means anything, you know, because a lot of times when I think about food, because that's what I love to do right now, is I love growing food, and I love growing food for health, okay? Because I believe that your health is your wealth. That's me, personally. So if you can say that I'm willing to do this, how can I bring in the income for that? And that, to me, is a better way to reinvent yourself. Say that if I couldn't do this or I couldn't do that, what can I do? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. You know, a lot of people have, like you said, college education, and there are a lot of people who don't have college education, but it doesn't matter because of the favor of King Jesus, because of the favor over your life and over your family. He'll make a way out of no way. When it seems like your back is against the wall, he's backing you up, so don't back down.
That's good. I want to actually stay on that reinvention idea, because part of the reason we're so afraid to reinvent ourselves is
How will it affect the people that know the current version of me?
Mm-hmm.
Or how will it affect the people that know the past version of me that won't necessarily want me to be the version of me that I want to be in the future? You know, maybe you had a bad reputation in the past for whatever it was.
Swindling people out of money.
Whatever it was. And now you're saying, okay, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to make a change. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to reinvent myself. Unfortunately, the version of you that you are becoming and will become as you go through this process, that person doesn't, or those people only know the version of you that they became acquainted with in the past.
Or that they last.
And so if you make the change and you come back to those people, they're still thinking about you the way you were back in the day when you were grimy or when you were promiscuous or when you were or when you were addicted or whatever version of yourself you were back then. That's the version of you that they know. And the version of you that you are becoming or that you have become, mm-hmm. they may not want to see you in the new version because mm-hmm. they're used to seeing you a certain kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scripture in the Bible where it talks about a prophet is without honor in his own town. Mm-hmm. Let me pull that one up. Mm-hmm. Prophet without honor in his own hometown.
That's just so-and-so from down the street.
And believe me, you're in good company because the same thing happened to our Messiah, Yahushua Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Same thing happened to him. And it's in Mark chapter 4. Mark 6, and then I also see Matthew 13. Let's figure out which one is going to illuminate the point the best here. Matthew 13. So we see it in two times. It's talking about the same event. Jesus is talking. So the first one I have here is Mark 4, and then we'll hop over to Matthew 13 after that. But it says, let me back all the way up to verse 1 to make sure I'm catching the context. You guys know I like always paying attention to the context when possible so that we don't cherry pick a meaning by accident. Let's see. Okay.
Or just a scripture verse. We go deeper than that.
All right. Matthew chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Excuse me. Mark 6. There we go. All right. And then the other one I'm pulling up here on the screen, it's Matthew 13. So we'll start with Mark chapter 6. Boy, this is going slow. I got a whole bunch of computer stuff going on here. All right. Oh, man, it's still going slow. Let me roll down to... Mark 6. There we go. Okay. This is Mark 6. Jesus went on from there and came to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. Where did this man get these ideas? They asked. What is his wisdom he has been given? What is this wisdom he has been given? And how can he perform such miracles? Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us as well? And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own household is a prophet without honor. So he could not perform any miracles there except to lay his hands on a few of the sick and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. And he went around from village to village teaching the people. So what we see here is Jesus, of course, he is the Son of God, so we can't compare ourselves exactly to him. But we can kind of get an idea of the concept, right? So he comes to his hometown and he's got supporters that are with him, his disciples. Jesus went from where he came from. He went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. So he found a new set of supporters first. That's one of the first things that we notice here, is that as he was setting about the particular way that God was going to get his glory uniquely through Jesus, one of the things that God did for Jesus is he brought him a support system. In this case, we're using the analogy of the disciples as being his new support system. These were people that supported his quest to fulfill God's destiny in his life. The same thing is going to be true for you, that as you begin to query God and you say, okay, God, how do you want to best express your glory through me? If the answer to that becomes somewhat of a reinvention or a change, mm-hmm. or a difference from the way you're living your life right now, mm-hmm. one of the first things you can do is seek out a new support system that can support the new version of yourself, mm-hmm. that you are driving toward becoming.
That's good.
So for some of us, maybe that's a 12-step program where everybody knows that you the one that likes to throw them all back. You like to drink until you're under the table. And maybe everybody knows that about you. And ever since you've been in high school and college, that's been your MO. Everybody knows that, he could put them down. She could put them down.
Drink like a fish,
you know. And maybe God is calling you and he's saying, okay, it's time for you to come away from that identity and to come into this sober-minded identity, because I can get more glory through your life if it's not being distracted or diminished by the excessive alcohol use.
Overshadowed, yep.
And so for you, you're going to need to find a new support system, mm-hmm. because if all your friends drink like how you drink, it's going to be very difficult for you to go dry if they're still very, very wet, because they're going to want you to stay the same way just like they are. Mm-hmm. If this is how y'all have always related to each other, is with this bottle, and you say, yeah, I want to, you know, I don't want to,
I want to be sober minded.
Right. I don't want to overconsume anymore, because God is calling me to something new. He's calling me to something different. One of the things you're going to have to do is you're going to have to find a new support system. That might be a 12-step program. It might be looking through your phone and taking note of the friends that are sober, that don't drink like a fish, and maybe reaching out to them and reconnecting with them. Because sometimes if we like to drink like a fish and we got friends that don't drink like a fish, sometimes we don't want to hang out with the friends that don't like drink like a fish. But maybe now that you're reinventing yourself, it's time to reconnect with those friends that don't drink like fish.
Or just simply ask King Jesus to send you new friends, because some of them may be in that state of disbelief. Mm-hmm. This is the person I knew that drank like a fish. They saying they don't drink no more, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Just might have to find new friends altogether. Make new friends. Sometimes it's not always good, Jackie, to go back to the old well.
Right.
In my opinion.
You're
sometimes
right.
It's not good to put new skin, new wine in old skins, if right. that means, if you understand where I'm coming from.
I sure do.
Putting new wine in new skins is a better idea, in my opinion.
I sure do. So let's continue with this passage. We're talking about the context of reinventing ourselves, and how sometimes the old version of us is all that our friends know, and how it can impact things. So
that's why Jesus could do no great miracles, because of their disbelief. Isn't this just the carpenter? Isn't this just the carpenter's son?
Oh, he ain't ish. Yeah, I know him. I've been knowing him since he
fixed my table.
Right. I remember.
Since he's the carpenter's son, he fixed my table. Didn't he fix the boat?
Man, I remember him since he had body odor in middle school. He ain't nobody. Well, I don't know who she thinks she is. She done been all the way around the block. Everybody done had a turn with her. Who she, you know, she trying to dress like she in church now. Yeah, we know what she used to do and who she used to be with and how many guys she was with, da-da-da-da-da. So that's kind of what's going on here in this Mark chapter 6. So it says, Jesus went on from there. He came to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. That's his support system. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. So the equivalent that we pulled from that was, he's in church. He has found other people that have a mindset toward God to fellowship with. He actually, now, of course, he's Jesus. The synagogue, everybody in the synagogue wasn't right. We know that. Right. Okay.
That's true.
But what we're getting here is that it's calling out that it was the Sabbath, which means that it was a day that they were setting aside on a regular basis to think about the things of God. That was how they used the Sabbath back then. And it said he began to teach in the synagogue. For us, that can simply mean sharing about our new journey and using that feedback from the teachings to help us on our journey. Because it says that when he taught in the synagogue, many who heard him were astonished. So let's give an example. Maybe the version of yourself that you are right now is overweight and out of shape and out of breath. And if you don't do something about it, you might be out of time. And so God is calling you to say, it's time for you to get on a health journey. It's time for you to get in the gym. So maybe the first thing you do is you sign up for a gym membership.
No.
And you get...
don't sign up for no gym membership.
Well, let me finish. You need a new support system. Okay. So whether that's a personal trainer at the gym or whether you start on Instagram documenting your weight loss journey. A lot of people do that now.
They do.
On social media where they say, you know, it's time for me to make a change.
They do.
I'm going to come on social media every day and show you guys what I'm eating. And I'm going to show you what I'm doing to exercise. And what that does is that gives you a new set of supporters who are watching you on social media who want to see your journey, your progress, and your success. And it's a built-in accountability system, because if you don't post, somebody gonna be up in your DMs or your comments talking about, hey, you ain't posted in a few days. You know, are you okay? Have you given up? Don't give up. So a lot of people use social media to be that support system. So in this example, there are a lot of people.
They use that as a motivation, yep.
Right. But there are a lot of people that know you from being big. Mm-hmm. And your whole life you've been big. Maybe your knees is knocked together because you so heavy that your knees is touching and your thighs is rubbing. And they've been playing the dozens about your weight and your knees ever since you was in first grade. Mm-hmm. And that person or those people from when you were a kid that bullied you so bad about your size, they're always going to see you as a big, as Big Back Becky, right? And you're not going to be able to change how they see you because that's how they saw that version of you. But when God comes in and he says, I want to express my glory uniquely through you, through this journey, and you start doing the work and you start changing your eating habits and you start posting on social media what your journey is, and all of a sudden that weight starts coming down and coming off, those people that remember you that other way, they might be very upset about it. Or there are some people who maybe when you got married, you was a big guy or a big girl, and then you start losing that weight and all of a sudden your spouse starts getting insecure or your spouse starts getting jealous or like the relationship changes because he's always known you as being big or she's always known you as being big. And maybe you lost the weight and now girls are paying more attention to you. And that didn't happen when you were a bigger guy. Or maybe now that you're losing weight, guys are starting to, starting to ask for your number, and your husband or you know, your boyfriend is there like, I'm starting to feel a kind of way now, because before when you were big, he thought basically you wasn't going to go nowhere. You big, you ain't going nowhere. And maybe y'all had arguments in the past and that's the sort of thing that he would say to you. But psh, you know, you big, you got kids, you got stress marks, you got love handles. Ain't nobody going to want you. I'm the only one to love you and want you. There's really some nasty, nasty people that say stuff like that. But when God comes in and you begin to reinvent yourself into that version of yourself that you see who is height, weight, proportionate, and healthy, that guy it may alter or put a strain on that relationship. Go ahead.
You know I got something to say about that.
I absolutely do.
It's important to be, whether you're small, big, large, to be comfortable in your own skin.
Mm-hmm.
Because believe it or not, when you lose the weight, that's not going to change if you have a poor self-esteem.
That's right.
I'm just telling you from experience.
That's right. That's right.
I'm telling you from experience, okay? You have to have the confidence also when you're big. Because regardless of whether you're big or small, somebody going to love it, okay? Somebody going to love it.
They say more cushion for the pushing or whatever. Okay.
Hey, you know, think about it like that, okay? Confidence is sexy.
Is it okay if I say it that way?
Of course you can.
Confidence is sexy. You being confident in yourself, that also is attractive.
Mm-hmm.
So if you with someone that doesn't appreciate you, do your best to try to make it work and do your best to eat healthy. That's what's important, is eating healthy.
Staying alive,
Whether mm-hmm. you lose the weight or you don't, eating healthy is what's important.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of big bone guys. I know a lot of big guys. They won't ever be skinny, skinny, like bony skinny. Okay? They won't ever be that way. But appreciate yourself for who you are. Confidence is attractive. It really is. Confidence is attractive. Yes. My lips are attractive. My face is attractive. My body is attractive. Say that to yourself and believe it. And whatever you don't believe,
you know, the scripture says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you don't believe, ask the Holy Spirit to help you with that. Okay? Get rid of people that want to debase you.
Mm-hmm.
I really do need to say that to you, because a lot of you have been debased.
And that
you've been lowered in the way that you think by what they say and by what they do. But let me tell you something. If you keep the confidence, whatever you're cooking, whatever you're doing with the love that you have, okay, that is a wonderful, that's a wonderful uplifting thing. I'm telling you, Jackie, I really enjoy cooking for you. Do you know that?
Well, I enjoy eating, so.
And I don't think that.
You like to cook and I like to eat,
and
so.
And I don't think, but you know what? She'll tell me, that was all right. Most times she says delicious. But if she's like, well, you could have used less vinegar. Or you could have, you know, that's just, you know, helping me. I enjoy it. I embrace it. And it's the same thing that you also need to do on your journey and your walk, is that it's important that you just try.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie, I mean it.
That's good.
Some people, you just need to, you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Some people, go ahead. You just need to start. You just need to start. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. You just need to start. Just start. Maybe you have injuries. See this? Maybe you have injuries like I had. See that? Okay? But you can lift your hands above your head.
Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, you start somewhere. The whole idea is to just start. Once you get started, everything else will happen for you. You know? Don't try to get on the treadmill. And Jack, you got a lot of folks just trying to get on the treadmill and,
right,
and thinking that Rome was built in a day. Rome was not built in a day. Your body was not built in a day. You didn't put all that weight on, for a lot of you, in a day. It took time to put it on. So why shouldn't it take a little bit more time to take it off?
I'm just saying.
Sure.
And I like what you said with the scripture that really, really, how do you reinvent yourself? How do you reinvent yourself? Find other things that you can do just besides. I mean, I've always loved hair. My dad, Pastor Owen Taylor, and I would brush his hair and comb his hair, all those different things. So I decided I wanted to, you know, but I went to school for biblical studies.
Mm-hmm.
Went to school for biblical studies, and I decided that, oh, I do hair pretty well too. I think I'll go ahead and you know, get an associate's in music, and I think I'll do this and do that. But you know who can really play? I'm telling you.
Uncle Leland can really play, Jackie.
He can really play. So you find out what things you do the best that you can do them. Reinvent yourself. Get back in there and find out, what is it about myself? Who am I today that I wasn't back then? And whether or not you have no control of what they think of you or what they don't think of you, you don't have any control over that, mm-hmm. Jackie. You really don't. You don't have no control over that. And just know that wherever you were, God will take you to the next level. He really will. You know, they got these things now with AI that can help you.
Oh, yeah.
With tools, with ideas. I'm just saying. IJS, I'm just saying. You know, there are ways that you can start and reinvent yourself. I did. You can reinvent yourself as well.
So let's continue with Mark chapter 6. So in verse 1, we established that when he came to his hometown, he was accompanied by his new support system, his disciples. In verse 2, it says, when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. So we are seeing here that he was interacting with other believers. Of course, it was different then because he was ministering in the synagogue, and a lot of them were church folks, but they weren't really believers. And so, of course, they had
an issue with that. Came for the fishes and loaves sometimes. You think they came for the fishes and loaves?
You know, they was in their feelings. They was feeling some kind of way because their words were, well, where did this man get these ideas? They asked. Well, where'd you get the idea that you could lose weight? Well, where'd you get the idea that you could be a dance instructor? Mm-hmm. Well, where did you get the idea that you can go sober? Mm-hmm. Well, where'd you get the idea that you could stop smoking weed? Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Well, where'd you get the idea that you could go back to school? Mm. See, you see what I mean? Mm. So this is how they were responding. And sadly enough, it was the church folks that was the worst with it, because he was in the synagogue where these people was saying all these negative things. So they were saying, where did this man get these ideas? They asked, what is this wisdom he has been given? And how can he perform such miracles? How can he think that he can change? How can she think that she can move out of the hood and move to Elkhorn, mm-hmm. or move to the rich side of town, mm-hmm. or get that nice townhouse and move up out of these hood projects or out of these hood apartments? Mm-hmm. Everybody know that you got to live up down north. I don't know why we call it down north, but you know,
some people say up north.
What you mean? What make you think you can save up the money to buy a house? Mm-hmm. What? This
talking
is
about,
how
talking about she want a farm. Mm-hmm.
This is how they were. And it was the church folks, the folks in the synagogue, that was flapping the most. How can he perform such miracles? Isn't this the carpenter, Mary's boy, and James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon's brother? And aren't his sisters with us too? Well, ain't that Johnny's kid? Well, what make him think he can start a business? I know his sister. I know his cousin then.
They was cleaning toilet stools the other day.
What? Why he think he can start a business? I know they people. They ain't doing nothing.
He got a janitorial service now.
What make
him think? Three people under him now. How about that? How about that?
That's how they were talking. And it says, and they took offense at him. So not only did
they were haters.
Say it again.
They were haters, drinking on that haterade, as my son would say.
And unfortunately, it was the church folks that weren't in tune with the Holy Spirit that was the worst haters. Mm-hmm. And so,
drunk off a haterade.
You got to definitely surround yourself with disciples. I don't mean that they're your disciples, but what I mean is positive. That they are devoted followers of God, and they're mm-hmm. sincere about their faith, and they're not just playing church. Because you can see the difference here between his supporters, called his disciples, and the church folks that weren't really living for God. They were going to church, but you could tell by the hateration, the holleration.
Yeah, they was drunk off that haterade juice. You could tell.
They literally were offended by him trying to be successful and performing miracles and saying things that God was putting on his heart to say.
Because if they did better, then it meant that they could do better.
We
all could do better.
Right. Because to follow Jesus would have changed their whole entire system of trajectory. How they did things mm-hmm. all together. And so you will find that when you become successful, everybody is not going to appreciate it like how you gonna appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Everybody is not going to celebrate it like how you would celebrate
it. The Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. There are times when you just have to encourage yourself in the Lord.
Because when you get clean and your friends and buddies mm-hmm. is still on that stuff, mm-hmm. they're not necessarily going to be happy that you got clean. Maybe you've been living a homosexual lifestyle and you decide that God is calling you to come away from that. And you may not know what that means. You may not know what that looks like. But there's something inside of you that is saying, this lifestyle that I have been practicing, that is not God's best for me. And something mm-hmm. God is calling me to reinvent myself, to do something different. And I don't know what that looks like yet. I got to pray about it. I got to ask the Holy Spirit to show me how to walk it. Mm-hmm. But I need to move in a different direction. And that doesn't mm-hmm. mean, and that doesn't mean try to force yourself to be attracted to the opposite sex. That's not what that means. And I can almost guarantee you that's not the first thing the Holy Spirit is going to call you to. If you're struggling with same-sex behaviors and you get the sense that he is calling you away from that, he is not going to immediately take away those attractions. I don't know who this is for, but if this is for you, you go ahead and receive it.
Let him use you.
The first thing that the Holy Spirit is going to do is to say, press into me, press into the word. Allow the Holy Spirit to shine his light in your life, because the Holy Spirit is going to begin to show you that homosexuality is not even your primary issue. That's not even the number one issue. He's going to start working on other areas of your life.
Of how you may have been hurt.
Or
abused. Or there are many facets.
Or he's going to work on other areas of your life that you have not submitted yourself fully mm-hmm. to Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's not even going to be about sexuality. He's going to call you about things like pride. He's going to call to you about things like idolatry. He's mm-hmm. going to call to you to change things such as lust. Or greed, or envy, mm-hmm. or he's going to begin doing a healing work from, as you said, the traumas that may have happened to you that cause you to put up protection mechanisms. Mm-hmm. He may work on your mommy issues, your daddy issues. He may work on
taking the taste off your mouth for that weed. Mm-hmm.
So there may be a lot of things mm-hmm. that maybe you say, I need to reinvent myself away from these homosexual behaviors or these lesbian behaviors mm-hmm. and move closer to allowing God to express himself to get the most glory through me, uniquely me. And I don't know what that means yet of how to put that thing away. But what I do know is that he's calling me to himself. And your number one thing is going to be to listen to the Holy Spirit and to get into the word, because the first thing he's going to ask you is not going to be, stop being attracted to the same sex and go be attracted to the opposite sex. That is not how it's going to work. I can almost guarantee it. But what it is going to be is he's going to say, your number one desire is to be more like me. Your number one desire is to reflect Christ more and more in your life every day. Your number one desire is going to be to please me and to build, to produce spiritual fruit. Your number one desire is going to be more sensitive to my spirit. Those are the things he's going to call you to.
David said, create in me a clean heart.
Those are the things he's going to call you to. And as you walk in that sort of reinvention, and this includes homosexual, this includes trans, this includes all of that sort of stuff. He's mm-hmm. not going to immediately say, straight out the gate, drop this, drop that. No, maybe he will. I mean, that's God's business. But most often what happens is, as you pursue with a sincere heart, a true relationship with Christ, and you allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate all the dark corners mm-hmm. in your life, or the idols that you are secretly holding that you may not even be really aware of, or the traumas that He needs to come in and do an inward healing work. You will find that those behaviors will become less and less attractive, if I can use that word. That though mode of living is going to become less over-consuming and dominating.
Take the taste in out your of your
thinking.
Mouth.
Mm-hmm. He never promised that all of our temptations in life would go away when we got saved. He never promised that. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. That's what it says in Hebrews. So if even Jesus still experienced temptations in this life, you are still from time to time going to experience temptations, cravings, feeling compelled to do or be or behave a certain kind of way.
It was so deep. It said it took him up on a high mountain. It said, if you just do this, I'll give you all of that.
The fact that you still experience temptations or attractions doesn't mean that you failed or that you're not even or that you're not saved. It doesn't even mean that, because even Jesus was tempted. He was tempted every single way that a human could be tempted, because that's what it says in the book of Hebrews. So don't be discouraged if you still experience temptations or cravings or attractions or desires that you know are not lining up with the version of yourself that God is reinventing you to be. That's okay. All you have to do is concentrate and focus on, how can I be more like Christ today? How can I love him more today? How can I bring him glory and honor more today?
How can I submit my life to him today? Submit, not my way, not my will.
So,
really,
so that will be another thing. Same thing if you're trans. If you are a female identifying man, or you're a male identifying woman, and you somehow there's something in your spirit that you maybe you've even started down that road of transitioning, which would be a different subject. I'm not going to go down that road. But maybe you've even started down that path, and there's something inside of you that is the Holy Spirit saying, that's not the way I ultimately want you to go. I want you to come this other way. I can almost guarantee you that all of your gay and trans friends will be just like Mark chapter 6, verse 3. Is going to be, and they took offense. Because it's interesting how,
because you changed your mind.
If you are straight and you decide to try bi, or you decide to try gay, or you decide to go trans, the LGBTQIA2S+ community will welcome you with open arms, happily. And they will bring you in and they will say, you have found your new home. But if you decide that, you know what? This is, God is calling me to something different. He's calling me a different way. And you decide you want to leave that community. Watch how fast they face change. Because if you get out, then that means they can get out.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to get out. And so they're going to be astonished and offended that you even think that you can. Mm. And the first thing they're going to say is, well, you're born gay. You can't change that. Mm-hmm. You can't pray away the gay. What makes you think that you can detransition? What makes you think that you can all of a sudden, ever since I've known you, you've been into girls, but now all of a sudden you telling me you don't want to be into girls anymore. Yeah, I've known you since you was 12 years old. Da 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 da. I saw you when you was 14 on the wrestling team, and I saw you get little chubbies when you were watching the boys wrestle. Ever since then, I knew that you was gay. What make you think that you don't have to be gay anymore, that God is calling you to something different? That's exactly how they were right here in Mark chapter 6. They said, well, where did this man get these ideas? And that's what they're going to be saying to you. What makes you think you can detransition? Well, if you're going to detransition, then you was never really trans in the first place. Well, if you're trying to go back away from being gay, then you was never really gay in the first place. Well, wait a minute. But didn't you just say that, oh, well, you're born gay and you can't never change that? Well, let me give you some news. If Jesus can't change everything, he can't change anything. Mm. If Jesus can't save from every sin, he can't save from any sin. Mm. He says that all of your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter how many times you've sinned. It doesn't matter if you just sinned 5 minutes ago. His blood is sufficient to cover all sin, no matter what it is, no matter how long it's been, no matter what iniquity is in your heart. Jesus' death, resurrection, and his shed sacrifice is enough to cover everything. Anything and everything. It doesn't matter what it is, doesn't matter what it was. Jesus can change you. That is the whole point. He says that when we are in Christ, it's in Corinthians, we are a new creation.
Lord, I believe.
Behold, all those old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Anything that you are going through in your life, whether it's a job change, a career change, a health change, a sexual change, an addiction change, all these things that we're talking about first starts with your desire to be more like Christ.
I believe. Help my unbelief. Come on here. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. He will help you. He's there.
So continuing.
He's been there for you. He's going to be there for you. Yes.
So wrapping it up here with Mark 6, verse 4, after they took offense at him for even daring to have the courage to speak about God's word and God's ways differently than the way they always knew him or the way they always wanted it to be. And he was bringing something new from the Holy Spirit and they didn't like it. In verse 4, it says, then Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own household is a prophet without honor. In other words, you may have to move. You may have to move out of the city, out of the state, out of the country. You may have to find a literal different town. You may have to ask God to put you in a relationship, a connection with a new family of believers.
Where God guides, he provides.
Now, I'm not saying everybody got to move. Lady J ain't saying that either.
No.
But moving from out of your hometown means moving from out of your current circles that are keeping you in the old version of you.
Or your state of mind. Moving out of that state of mind.
That comfortable or hometown mind.
A lot of times you move first in your mind before you do physically, Jackie.
That's right.
That's my good. That's my opinion.
That's good.
Okay.
That's good.
Sometimes when I'm gone already, it's because I left here first. I left in my mind first. Okay?
That's what they say about breakups, especially for men. They done broke up with you a long time ago in their mind before they ever left the relationship. They was already broke up with you months, weeks before they actually
told
you.
Just a placeholder. Until they get whoever or get in a better situation.
Before they actually tell you, you know what, this ain't working, I'm out. They probably was already broke up with you weeks or months before they actually said those words, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely right. That is a good word that our mind is probably our home base. It's the most comfortable place we are most of the time because that's where our thoughts are.
That's where the battlefield is. The battlefield's in the mind.
And so changing the hometown in that scenario would be getting into the word and seeing what God has to say about how you should think about yourself.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Listening and praying, not just asking God for stuff, but then also listening to the still small voice of his leading and guiding and direction of what you should do next. What is the next step? Mm-hmm. How you should think about yourself. Changing that negative self-talk.
Sometimes you have too much estrogen, Jackie. Sometimes you have too much testosterone in your body. It's that simple as having your levels checked. Did you know that? I remember a gentleman, and I was like, you need to get your testosterone checked. Oh my goodness, his testosterone, he barely had anything. But do you know once he got that testosterone shot and decided he wanted to do that, honey, now you can tell that man, he wasn't scared of nothing. Even his voice deepened. It was strange. It was like, whoa, what's going on here?
Well, that's the whole thing that's always gotten me about the whole hormonal treatments for people that want to transition. If you are, let's say you are a woman that wants to identify as a man, rather than jumping straight to testosterone hormones, maybe you should try taking some estrogen hormones for a while and see if maybe that doesn't help change your mindset about even some of those motivations. Now, of course, there's social considerations, there's trauma considerations, there's parental attachments and there's parental experience.
Soul ties.
Things.
Sometimes there soul are, ties can need to be destroyed.
There are sexual appetites that maybe you awakened and now, you know, once you have the acquired a taste for a certain thing. Okay, so yes, all those things are all a factor. Mm. But when we jump to taking those hormones to do cross-sex hormones, maybe we should attempt to take the biological sex hormones first and see if maybe that doesn't change our outlook. So
come
maybe
on here.
You're a man and you feel like you want to identify as a woman. Maybe instead of jumping to go and get the estrogen shots, maybe try first taking the testosterone shots and giving it a little bit of time and see if maybe having that chemical hormonal input helps to also assist with your outlook on things. Because in a trans situation, I think sometimes we're very fast to jump to, well, if you think it, then you should just go ahead and start getting on the hormones and you should start making all the changes. And because you thought it, and maybe those thoughts were even persistent for a while, that's your only option. I'm here to tell you, Lady J and Love are here to tell you that is not your only option at all.
Right.
As a matter of fact, that's a bad idea to jump straight to hormone therapy when you have not first examined the psychological reasons why you're even feeling that way in the first place.
Yeah, some have not even gone through puberty yet, Jackie.
That's abuse.
That's abuse to me.
They haven't even gone surgeries, through puberty. To do surgeries or hormonal interventions before a person has even entered through puberty, that's physical abuse. I'm calling it what it is, because you're not allowing that young person to go through a natural puberty and then as an adult, meaning 18 and up, decide for themselves whether or not they want to make a permanent, life-altering, physically altering set of decisions before they are an adult. And it's our job as adults to protect children from making permanent decisions before they're ready. That's why we don't allow children to get tattoos before they're 18. That's why we don't allow them to get their ears pierced. I don't know if that's true now, but when I was coming up, you had to get parental permission to get your ears pierced.
Well, not only that, but you had to sign.
That's why we don't.
You had to sign away because there are things in your ears that are connected to nerves that affect the whole entire body.
That's why we don't let young people smoke tobacco until they're 18. That's why we don't let them vote until they're older. That's why they don't get to join the military until they're older. That's why they can't enter into a marriage legally until they're 18 unless they've been emancipated. There's reasons for that, because we as adults know that children need time to be protected as they're growing up and going through all the turbulence of becoming an adult and going through puberty and all of the insecurities and issues that come along with that. It's our job to give them the guardrails and the guidelines to assist them through that period of puberty. Mm-hmm. And if you're changing someone's hormonal or physical everything before they've had a chance to become 18 and make a rational decision as an adult, that is a form of physical child abuse. It just is. I said it, Lady J said it, and don't take it back. So if you want to, as an adult, do body alterations through hormones or surgeries, or just altering your appearance in general because you have whatever your reasons are, you wish to do that. As an adult, you as an individual adult are free to choose whatever you want. But we should not be given hormones or surgeries, cross-sex hormones or surgeries to children under 18, period, full stop. Anyway, I don't know why I got into that. But just to wrap this out here in verse 5, Mark 6, verse 5. So he, meaning Jesus, could not perform any miracles there except to lay his hands on a few of the sick and heal them. He was in his hometown. The haters were there. The folks that didn't believe that he could be anything other than the past version of him that they knew when he was young. They didn't want him to change. They were astonished and they were offended and they was talking bad about him. So he couldn't do a whole lot there. Like it says here, he couldn't perform any miracles there. He was able to lay his hands on a few of the sick and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief in verse 6. And then to wrap it up, it says, and he went around from village to village teaching the people. So because he was not receiving that honor or that respect amongst his previous social and family and maybe job, maybe career, and maybe his internet presence, maybe they were so stuck on seeing him the old way or seeing you the old way that he had to go to different villages in order to be able to be his best self, to teach the people. It says, and he went from village to village teaching the people. He went other places. He found different people that saw him only in the new way and not the old way. That sometimes can be why moving to a different part of town, a different city, a different state, a different country. Sometimes that can be drastic and it can be radical, but sometimes that can help.
Sometimes it can be right.
Because the person that meets you in the new place doesn't have any of the baggage of who you used to be. They don't have any of the context of how you grew up and how they made fun of you. And maybe you.
Oh, that's just little Ray Ray. Yeah.
Right. Well, now you're just Ray. Mm-hmm. In the new city, you're mm-hmm. Ray. And Ray can be whoever Ray wants to be. Mm-hmm. However, God wants to express himself uniquely through Ray. Sometimes Ray had to get away from the old crowd in mm-hmm. order to fully express himself the way God wanted him mm-hmm. to express himself. And so, again, I'm not advocating that everybody move to a whole different city. But I am advocating that you can change your social algorithms.
I'm advocating you have more options than you think. That's what I'll say. There are ways that you can qualify for options.
You can close those social accounts mm-hmm. and start brand new accounts.
Correct.
You can start getting a brand new friend set.
Correct.
You can start going through brand new algorithms. Maybe all those people that were on your old Facebook, maybe they don't need to know what journey you're on right now as a new situation. For example, in the trans world, they have something called a dead name. In the community of people that wish to identify as a different biological sex than the one they were biologically born with, they will often change their name. So maybe they were born Tabitha Jones, but now they want to be Tommy Jones. Well, once they adopt the new name of Tommy Jones, then the previous name, Tabitha Jones, to them becomes what they call their dead name, because they want to completely dead the former way that people saw them as female, and now they want everyone to acknowledge them as male. Well, in the biblical sense, we are supposed to, it says we're supposed to crucify the flesh, that the old man is passed away, the new has become. The old version of you, maybe the old version of you, its dead name is addicted. Its old name is overweight. Its old name is unemployed. The old dead name for the version of you before you got saved is addict or sexual deviant or homosexual or promiscuous
or murderer
or whatever it is. That needs to become your dead name, because you no longer want to identify with the old version of you. Mm-hmm. Now that you're saved and that you're in Christ, you want to call yourself how God calls you: redeemed, righteous,
blessed,
set apart, mm-hmm. holy, conscientious, hardworking,
confident,
integrity, courageous, that you have love, joy, peace, patience, all the fruits of the Spirit.
Long-suffering.
You speak those things with over yourself, because that is the version of you that God is turning you into. He says that he wants you to constantly be peace. More like Christ
yes.
every day. And so you don't want to identify with the version of you before you got saved or before he has called you to this new thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe for the last 20 years, you've been saying, yeah, I'm a gay man. And that's the label you put upon yourself. And that's the label you, all your social set calls you. Yeah, that's a gay man. And you say, I'm a gay man. And you've adopted that as your name. Well, maybe gay man needs to be your dead name. And now it needs to be, I'm a Christ-following man. I'm a Bible-believing man. I'm a Holy Spirit-inspired man. I am doing my best.
I'm a changed man.
I'm doing my best to reflect Jesus today. And it doesn't matter that I did those things for the last 20 years or however long. This is who I am today. And it doesn't matter if I'm still tempted by that old version of who I was before I committed to Christ.
Jesus was tempted. Hey, don't you think the same thing will happen to you?
Absolutely.
But he said, but he was tempted, but guess what he did? But no. That's what you do. Just say no. Isn't that what the mm-hmm. thing says? Just say no.
So, yes, it is simple but not easy, because it does require you really allowing yourself to get into the Word of God, to really know what the Bible says, and not just what the preacher says that it says, but what it says and means to you and for you, number one. And number two, to really be humble enough to allow the Holy Spirit to work on those deep things and those secret sins and those secret idols and yes. those maybe even unconscious or subconscious mm-hmm. Ways of thinking that have held you back and away from the life that he wants for you. And that can be a challenge. That can be a challenge. And I think that's old has passed away. Let me pull that verse up. I think that's probably a good place to put a period on this sentence here. It's in Corinthians. Let me pull it up here real quick. It is 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I think this is a good place to end. And it's not about being gay. It's not about your career or addiction. It can be anything. I'm just using those as examples because they're just easy examples. But it could be anything in your life that the Holy Spirit is calling you to a new thing, and he's calling you away from maybe a way that you have done things and thought things for decades.
This is not pray the gay away. That's what they would say things like that. This is not that.
No, not at all. Because, well, we went over that earlier. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be the number one thing that the Holy Spirit has you to start focusing on. I can almost guarantee it. What he's going to say is, are you willing to follow me in everything? Are you willing to submit
Take up your cross.
Everything
follow
to
me?
Mm-hmm. Not just the parts that are easy, but everything. Are you willing to submit your whole life to me?
Yes.
Are you willing to lay aside everything
Wait,
that is not
that will
like
easily
me
beset you?
That's where he's going to start. And anything else, as you see your life change, and it could be weight, it
you
could
are
be,
listening to the
it could be weight,
gospel.
It could be addiction,
gospel
it could be anything.
Omaha,
listen to that. Let me read this verse here and get on out of here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, quickly, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I got a lot of stuff going on in the background there, but I think that's a good place for us to stop for this week. Just be encouraged that if you're in Christ, he can lead and guide the way as you change to be the new person that he wants you to be to best give him glory in your life in a unique way. In Jesus' name, I'm Lady J.
I'm Love.
And we'll see you next time.
Ciao.
Your clients, your potential new church members, and whoever else you're attracting, they're listening to